Happy Pentecost, everybody. Or if you like it better in Hebrew, Shavuot Sameach. Try that one. Shavuot Sameach. That's right. Well, you know, this is awesome. I wish we were outdoors, but we're still having fun, right? And Michael, Michael Rosenberg, I have a question for you. Are these the horns of the altar? Yeah. Did you design this? Michael led a Messianic congregation for many years in his home, built a synagogue in his home, was really cool. Wow. And this was the bima, the altar. We call it a podium. Good job. What's that? I can't.
Actually, I think I need to demonstrate it just real quickly. It could be hard to tell it. But if you can hold it.
Sure.
I didn't even know this. He just designed this on his own. When you take a Torah scroll, you lay it down, and you open it up, and it lays right
there.
And as you read, you turn it, and you can read it that way.
Wow. And that was worth a demonstration. As we say, Tov Me'od, very awesome. Thank you, brother. And so this is a permanent keeps, right? We'll see. Okay. Thank you. Well, Mazel Tov to Alex and Nathan. You guys did great. This kind of seals your birthday in the Lord. This is your spiritual birthday. So mark this day forever as your spiritual birthday. Okay. And speaking of birthdays, let's see if this works. There we go. Speaking of birthdays, how many of you had a birthday within the last 12 months? That's good. If you don't raise your hand, you shouldn't be here. Okay. How many of you celebrated your birthday in some fashion? Okay. Good. All right. One more question. How many of you like to celebrate? Yeah. Oh, good. Good for you. Celebration's a good thing. You know, it's one of the best kept secrets is that God likes to celebrate. Yeah? We actually read it this morning. Let's read it again. From Deuteronomy, celebrate your festival, you, your sons, your daughters, the immigrants, the orphans, and the widows who live in your cities. So God not only wants us to celebrate, he does what? Amen. He commands us to celebrate. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but that wasn't my image of God growing up. You know, when I thought of the commandments, it was, you know, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt not have fun. I mean, I grew up Jewish, but I periodically saw these pictures of Jesus, and there were always these medieval pictures of Jesus, and it looked like he just swallowed pickle juice. You know, something like this. And I thought, this guy isn't into fun. But then I became a believer, and I started reading the scriptures and read scriptures like this where it says, God says he commands us to have fun. Yes, he commands us to celebrate. There's some other words in that translation. It's rejoice, make merry, have a good time. How many of you like having a good time? Yeah. You know, sometimes other pastors will ask Randy and I, so why do you guys do these festivals? You know, like, what's up with these festivals? Why do you do them? Well, you know, there's a lot of good answers, but probably the simplest answer, the best answer is they're just fun. They're fun. I wish we were outdoors. I mean, we're having fun, but we have even more. See, God likes the outdoor. God's into nature, too. So that's why he commanded to have festivals outdoors, because it's even more fun. So, celebration. And because it's a celebration, it's also a time of Gift giving. Kind of like Christmas. How many of you like Christmas? Christmas, we exchange gifts, don't we? We give gifts to one to another. Well, on festivals like Pentecost, we exchange gifts, but we give gifts to God, and he gives gifts to us. And we just kind of did that this morning. You know, already we had the food offering, because Pentecost is also called the Feast of Weeks. It's also called what? The Feast of the Harvest. So we're doing what? We're thanking God for all the good food that he gives us. How many of you like food? Come on. Yes, we like our hamburgers and hot dogs and pizza and lasagna and Chinese food and seafood and frappuccinos and... What? Matzo ball soup, yeah. How many of you had these iced caramel macchiatos?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you have, man, you've had one. Are they awesome?
They're awesome.
So what? Thank you, God, for food. Thank you for the harvest. Thank you that we can go to the grocery store and there's like a million things there. I mean, most of us don't grow our own food. You know, Mike, where's Mike? Mike Baker grows his own food. Most of us don't grow our own food. Imagine if your grocery store ran out of food. Oh, my God, we'd be in big trouble, wouldn't we? So thank God. Lord, thank you for the grocery stores. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the hot dogs and the hamburgers and pizza. How many of you like pizza? Come on. Amen. So we give gifts to God, and but God also gives some special gifts to us, doesn't he? Well, that first Pentecost means what? 50, that's right. At the first Pentecost, 50 days after the first Passover, God gave us an amazing gift. Now, I'll give you a hint. It was a terrific gift. Now, how many of you can spell terrific? All right, somebody spell terrific for me. T-E-R-R-I-F-I-C. Close. That was close. Here's how you spell terrific. For those who are listening, possibly on the CD or internet, we spell terrific, T-O-R-A-H-F-I-C. Yes, God gave us a terrific gift. He gave us the Torah. It's a terrific gift. I mean, the Bible says the Torah is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I love what David said. He says the Torah of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The Torah of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Torah of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The Torah of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, sweeter than the honeycomb, more desirable than gold. Can anybody say, that's terrific? Yes. So God has given us an amazing gift on that first Pentecost. He gave us the Torah. Now, there was another Pentecost that occurred 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. What holiday did Jesus rise from the dead? Passover, right. Well, the Feast of First Fruits, which is 3 days after Passover, during the celebration of Passover. So 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, on that Pentecost, which is another name for Shavuot or Feast of Weeks or Feast of the Harvest, God gave his second greatest gift. What was that? There we go, the Holy Spirit. Some call it a birthday gift because it was the birthday of the Messianic Church, where Jews and Gentile proselytes were both born again into the family of God. It's something that never happened before. Never happened before. Paul describes it this way in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. But now in Messiah Yeshua, You, who's you? Most of you. Not all of you. You, Goyim, right, thank you. Gentiles who were once far off have been brought near because of the sacrifice of Jesus. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has torn down the what? The dividing wall of hostility, that he might create in himself one new man or one new people in place of the two. Now here's my question for you. What was the dividing wall? Sin, separation, okay. Okay, we got some good answers here. Well, it was literally, you can see it in this picture. This is a picture of the temple in Jesus' day. It was literally a wall about 3 feet high or so, and it separated the outer court of the Gentiles from the inner court where only Jews could go. Now, there was a sign posted all along the wall. Does anybody know what the sign said? That's right. Don't enter under penalty of death. Oh my gosh. In other words, if most of you were living back in Jesus' day, if you would have climbed that wall, you'd be toast. Because Gentiles, anybody who was not Jewish, could not go over, go through that wall. Now, there's been other walls throughout history that men have built to keep people out. Maybe you've heard of Hadrian's Wall. Anybody ever hear of, who was Hadrian? He was the Roman emperor, 2nd century. He built this wall in northern Britain. And why did he build the wall? To keep the barbarians out. Braveheart. That's right, the days of Braveheart. Maybe you've heard of this wall, the Great Wall of China. Does anybody know how long that wall is? It's really long. 4,500 miles long. Oh, that's longer than from California to Maryland. That's a long wall. Why did the Chinese build that wall? Yeah, to keep the bad guys out. More recently, you've probably heard of the Berlin Wall. Now, the Berlin Wall was built in what year? 1961. And was built by the communists, Soviet Union, to keep the West Germans out of East Germany and to keep the East Germans in East Germany. Now, so we've been good at building walls, but some of us have built walls too, haven't we? Even as Christians, we tend to build some walls. We've built denominational walls, haven't we? Walls between Catholics and Protestants, evangelicals and Pentecostals, charismatics and non-charismatics. I can't tell you how many times over the years a Protestant has said to me, Catholics cannot be saved if they're still in the Catholic Church. And I can't tell you how many times Catholics have said to me, Protestants can't be saved because they're not in the Catholic Church. Well, you know what I would like to say to them? Something like this.
Tear down this wall.
Now, for those of you who are a little too young, who weren't around then, or can't remember who that was, somebody tell us, who was that? Ronald Reagan. And who was he talking to?
Gorbachev.
President Gorbachev. And he said, tear down that wall. It was prophetic, wasn't it? And that wall was torn down. What year? 1989. Yeah. So, denominational walls. Lord says, tear down that wall. Some of us have racial walls. We have a country that's had significant racial walls. And many of us have been affected by that. I'm one of them. I went to Pimlico Junior High, transferred there middle of 7th grade from Franklin Junior High, way out in the country to way into the city. And I got beat up a couple times by young guys of a different color. And guess what? Those walls started building up, dividing walls, a wall of hostility. But then I became a believer at 19, and the wall came down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then at 20 years old, I was doing an outreach downtown Baltimore, Thanksgiving, feeding the poor, and I got assaulted by an African-American man. And it was a horrible experience. And guess what happened? The wall went back up. But I was aware of it, and I was struggling. I couldn't get rid of it. And finally, one day in prayer, essentially, the Lord said to me, "Son, tear down that wall. You can forgive. I've forgiven you. You can forgive him." And I tore down that wall, and I forgave. Hallelujah. The wall is gone. Some of us have built generational walls. Walls between the young and the not so young. You know, I remember some of you may have heard some of this story, but I was 19 years old when I became a believer. And at 19 years old, everybody older than 30 was old. I mean, they didn't look like me. They didn't dress like me. They didn't talk like me. They didn't act like me. And I just had no interest in hanging out with old people. And then I got invited to my first prayer meeting down at All Saints Church down across from Mondawmin Mall. And I walked into the, I don't know even how I got there. I walked in barefooted in my patched jeans and my luxurious long hair. And when I walked in, what I immediately saw was old people. Everyone was over 30. So what did I do? I turned around and I started to walk out. I said, I don't want to be with old people. Well, and when I guess that one of these little old ladies, probably in her 40s, she came running after me. She came, "Sonny," whatever, she, Sonny or something. I mean, she put her arm around me and she said, and she just turned me around and she walked me back in, and I was stuck, trapped. But something happened that evening, that night, that changed my life. I had a bad knee. I ran track in high school and I fell and I injured it. And they had a prayer room. I know you know what a prayer room was, but same lady came by. "Hey, honey, you know, let's go. You got to." She found I had a bad knee. She showed me into the prayer room, and then some even older women sat down next to me and started praying for me. And then one really old woman, I mean, probably like 49. She said, "Okay, honey, stand up." I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am." I stood up. And guess what? I was instantaneously healed. Never had a problem with my knee since that day. And that generational wall came down. Hallelujah. So if any of you young people this morning, I don't know if you have any of those generational walls. I'm not old. But I'm getting there. But if there's any kind of generational wall, what is the Lord saying this morning? Tear down that wall. There's other walls. There's marital walls. Ooh, ouch. Some of us have marital walls. Walls between spouses, husband and wife, wife and husband. Maybe you were hurt, misunderstood, neglected, rejected. The list goes on. You know what the Lord says this morning? No matter what it was, tear down that wall. And similarly, there's walls between parents and children. I certainly have my walls. Oh, my gosh. I love my dad of blessed memory, but we had some big walls. I mean, they were thick, really thick. And it wasn't probably until 15 years, actually still as a living as a Christian, as a believer, that I still had those walls. And one day, the Lord said to me, more or less, son, Fred, I think he calls me Freddy, I'm not sure. So, tear down those walls. And I got prayer for healing and inner healing. And man, I cried more water. I mean, I'm surprised I still exist. I mean, just because we're mostly water, aren't we? And a lot of water came out of me. A lot of water. But those walls came down. And my father and I became close. And I had the privilege of leading my father to the Lord and baptizing him just like we did today. Praise God. And even as parents, we can have walls. We can build up walls towards our children, can't we? You know, maybe we have a challenging son or daughter. Does anybody have any challenges? Don't raise your hand. And walls can build up, can't they? So I would say to you this morning, I don't care what the wall is. I don't care what your son or your daughter has done. Tear down that wall. Finally, we may have what I call sibling walls. How many of you know what a sibling wall is? How many of you have siblings? Many of us have siblings. Sometimes walls are built between brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, brothers and sisters. I have a brother and a sister. My brother is 15 years older than me. And from the time I can remember, 7 years old, he started torturing me. I mean, he just had fun with me. You know, we'd be at dinner and, you know, he would be chewing his mashed potatoes. And when he had perfect timing. Perfect timing. As soon as my father or mother turned their head, he'd stick his tongue out with all his food. And I would go, as a seven-year-old, I'd go, ew! And then guess what would happen? I'd get yelled at. And he did all kinds of fun things to torture me. And then I got older and I became a believer. And my brother was the New Age King of Baltimore. So when I became a believer, oh my gosh, World War III broke out. I mean, and my brother's a very powerful person. Charismatic, articulate. I mean, he'd be a great preacher. Well, you know, and he's smart. So he would just, family gatherings, he would just rip me to shreds. He'd push all my hot buttons, and he'd get me going to duke it out verbally with him, and I'd always lose. And this wall just got more and more, it just got really thick. And years went by. Finally, this may be about 5 or so years ago, finally, the Lord sat me down, and he said, Fred, tear down that wall. Yeah. What? And I realized at that moment that instead of battling him, I needed to start blessing him. And so when he was every time we'd get together, gatherings, whatever, he'd start pushing my buttons. I just didn't respond. In fact, I was proactive. I just began to bless him and encourage him. It took several years later, my brother started becoming my best friend and started opening up his life to me. And about 2 summers ago, I had the amazing privilege of leading him to the Lord on Passover and baptizing him in his friend's pool. So there's real power in tearing down those walls. Because what is the good news? Jesus died to make us one. He tore down the dividing walls. And if he can make Jew and Gentile one, guess what? He can make anybody one. Yes. Catholics and Protestants, blacks and whites, husbands and wives, parents and children, young and old. He can make us all one. Yeah. because of what he has done for us on the cross. He tore down the dividing wall of hostility to make us one. Can anybody say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
So here's what we're going to do as we close this morning. We're going to tear down some walls. Because I know some of us have some walls. Because we're human. We're going to get free of those walls this morning. So I want to invite Randy to come on up. Because we're going to perform the ancient ceremony found in Leviticus chapter 23, which is the waving of the two loaves, which is a prophetic proclamation of God's plan to make us one. How? By tearing down the walls of division. So, Randy's going to read the passage, and we're going to wave the loaves, and I want the shofar blowers to come on down. If you have a shofar, come on down. Okay. But we have one's enough. Yeah.
Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 17. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. You're going to say something about the leaven.
Thank you, Randy. Okay, so if you want to tear down some walls today, please stand. So what we're going to do is, as we wave these two loaves, remember, these two loaves are prophetic proclamation of God's plan to make us one. How? By tearing down the walls of division, the walls, the dividing walls. So as we go through these different walls this morning, I'll pray them through, and we're going to repent of each one, okay? And then we're going to blow the shofar, because the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the tearing down of strongholds, which are big walls, right? And every vain imagination that opposes the knowledge of God. Okay, so we have powerful weapons this morning to tear down those walls. So let's pray. Lord, we're standing in your presence this morning. And we're just thanking you this morning for what you have done for us. Lord, you not only have given us your Torah, you've not only given us your Holy Spirit, your Ruach, but you have torn down the dividing walls of hostility that we may be one. Jew and Gentile, Catholic and Protestant, black and white, young and old, husband and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us this morning. So Lord, we're asking by the power of your Spirit, as we wave these two loaves, a prophetic proclamation of your plan to make us one. Lord, we ask that by your power this morning, by the power of the wind blowing through this room, the power of the Ruach, the power of the Spirit, that you would tear down whatever wall or walls have been erected in our lives. We're believing this morning for a breakthrough, Lord, for a breakthrough, that the walls, just as that Berlin Wall came down, whatever wall we have this morning in our lives, that wall will come down. So here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, we repent of denominational walls. Any wall of division in my heart with any brother and sister in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, I repent of that wall. I tear down that wall. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yeah, sure. Yes, Lord. Lord, we're going to come before you now to repent of any racial walls in our lives, any prejudice in our hearts towards someone of a different race or color. And Lord, we're asking now that you tear down that wall. So let's say, Lord Jesus, I repent of any racial wall. I tear down that wall now. In your name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. And Lord, we come before you now with any generational walls that we've built up in our hearts. Whether it's those who are young towards those who are older, or those who are older towards those who are younger. Lord, we're coming before your throne of grace this morning to repent of those walls. So we say, Lord Jesus, I repent for any generational wall that I have built in my life. Forgive me now. I tear down that wall. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, we come before you now with any marital walls that we may have built up in our lives and our hearts between ourselves and our spouse. Lord, we're asking now that you would tear down those walls. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause, it all begins with forgiveness. So I choose to forgive. Say with me, Lord Jesus, forgive me. In your name, I tear down that wall. Amen. Amen. And Father, we come before you to give, present to you any parental walls that we have built up, whether it be parents towards our children or as children towards our parents. Again, Lord, whatever hurts, whatever bad feelings, whatever pain we've experienced from a parent or from a child, we're asking now, Lord, that you would tear down that wall. So pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for any wall I have built between myself and my father, between myself and my mother, between myself and my child. And I ask now that you forgive me and that you tear down that wall. I tear down that wall in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, any walls between ourselves and our siblings, walls between ourselves and our brother, walls between ourselves and our sister, Lord, right now we repent and we forgive. And we say right now, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for building a wall. And I ask right now that you tear down that wall. I tear down that wall. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. let's take a moment. Maybe there's some other walls I didn't mention. If there are other walls that you're, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, call it out. How they look, how they're acting or not acting.
And Marguerite mentioned disabled people.
Disabled people. Okay, so walls between disabled people and not disabled people. Good.
Right.
Okay. Actually, if you have something, come on up here so we can all hear you.
I just felt a real power when I put my arm around Miriam and my brother, my son over there, my other son. But if you could just put your arm around the person next to you, just to kind of like everybody have your arm around each person, to kind of say, I feel like what the enemy do, because we're really going for unity in this church. And over the past week, I've just heard, because I work with youth, a lot of hurts from a lot of people. And so I want to tear down the walls of misunderstanding, tear down the walls of judgment, of exclusion. And I say that we will be a church. I was reading a book, Crazy Love, that Matt gave me, and it was talking about his church in California that says love of extreme giving, extreme sacrifice, extreme love, where you go for the gold. And you don't judge people by what they do, because the more you judge them, the more the worst comes out in them. So right now I just say, Father, you want to repeat this? Father, tear down the walls of judgment, of criticism, of exclusion, of clickiness. And Father, I will be intentional of being one as you and the Father and the Son are one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Sometimes we have a wall between ourselves and our God. So we need to have prayer and repentance for that too.
Yes. Yes, that's why you said that. I was reminded that the Lord, when he rose from the dead, guess what wall was ripped down? It's torn down. That's right, the curtain dividing the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Why? Giving all of us freedom of access into the very presence of God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that, Jesus, you tore down that wall so that all of us could have immediate access into your presence. Lord, forgive us for not believing that we can live in your presence through love. Lord, you chose us before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and spotless without blemish, and that we would live in your presence through love. Lord, that is our inheritance. That is our calling and destiny. So, Lord, forgive us if we have not believed. Say with me, I am called to live in the presence of God through love. Amen.
Well, what came to me was rejection. When you're even this, and it starts as a child, when you're a kid, it starts, rejection is one of the things that, like, it starts as a kid, but it gets bigger as you get older. And sometimes you get rejected by people, but God never rejects you. He always accepts you. And, but we can get that seed in our heart that can follow us all through our life. And if we don't realize that God loves us unconditionally and that he accepts us exactly as we are, we can go through a life of beating ourselves up constantly, feeling rejected, feeling like we never ever can amount, we can never ever do anything. But the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he puts something in us, a spiritual DNA, that gives us, we have a conqueror's spirit to defeat anything that the enemy says that tries to cause rejection to set in. So Lord, we just right now, we just thank you, Father God, that you break down the walls of rejection. Say this. Say, no matter what anyone said to me in my past or how they rejected me, I just release them from that rejection and I accept the Lord's acceptance that abolishes that rejection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, a couple more.
I stand guilty of this one. Go ahead. walls between ourselves and ourselves. And, you know, there are partitions that we set up all throughout us just to cope. But then sometimes we just don't go back and revisit them and make sure that they're dealt with. And so our attic is pretty chock full with business that's not dealt with, or that is at least acknowledged, but we get stuck. And so in keeping that wall around ourselves and ourselves, it says it's a double wall. We don't ask. We don't ask for help. We don't acknowledge. We don't ask for assistance. I stand guilty as charged. And so some of the exclusion is not necessarily imposed by others, but we don't... There's an invitation that's not on outside of our door sometimes that says it's okay to knock, it's okay to come in any time. Certainly boundaries are a healthy thing, and that's usually where they start, but then they putrefy. And so I just wanted to pray. Father, I know, God, that there are so many of us that have not outstretched to the full possibility in our lives because we have just curtailed every bit of hope just because of what it exerts to rise up and meet that possibility. And so, Father, I ask for forgiveness, and I speak on behalf of the body of Christ and even my family and all those other people who sense that there may be walls between us, Lord, that my contribution to those walls is the wall that I started with around myself. And I ask, God, that you would permeate those walls, that you would be gentle, that your kindness would just be a new revelation, that there would be just a foreclosure of all of that old business, Lord, and that as you would like to deal with us, Lord, you would one by one just give us that gift box, set it out in those private moments with us, and just give us the courage to open that box, Lord, because otherwise it's a daunting task to try to figure out where do we begin. Lord, I just pray that you would abolish, the critics and the jury that stands inside our own head, and that you would nullify them, and that you alone would be the one who is the loudest voice, as though it's small and still, but Lord, still the most profound, and in that way loud. Just amplify, let your name be magnified in us, and God, no matter where we feel defeated, Father, just help us to just have that mustard seed of faith, to reach out, to take one of those pores and just break out, Lord Jesus. Just have an all-out breakout in our lives and just break free and invite possibility, invite relationships, and Lord, that we one another would also respect those relationships, that confidentiality, and regard people's boundaries, Father, and not allow that work to be stunted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, one more. Lenny.
I think along with all the breaking down of the walls, there is the next step of making a blessing to that person, to those people who have done this to us, or whoever, that residue. I love this story about Mike Bickle, the pastor in Kansas City. When he was a younger pastor, and some man, he had really built up the church to hundreds of people, and this other pastor started another church and like stole more than half of his congregation. So the whole thing, and the Lord said, you go, you worship at his church on Sunday evenings after his, and you tithe to that man. And he went there for a year, tithed to the man who stole his congregation and sowed into him. And I just feel there's some people, you know, some old team leaders that I have still, like, I've never wanted to be their Facebook friend because I really don't want them to know what I'm doing. I felt like the Lord said, you break down that wall, you know, and just whatever it is the Lord's speaking to you. And I mean, these words of Joseph, I could say them every day in my life. Like, what his brothers meant for evil, God meant it for good. We get to experience some of the cross, some of the agony. Maybe we'll never be tortured for our faith. Maybe we'll never be in a prison, but we have been rejected. We have had things that were, you know, we've been hated without reason. Jesus was hated without reason. We've had all different things happen, wow, we can experience Jesus in that. And we can be free. We can say, Jesus, I got to experience that with you. And so it becomes a heavenly place. And I release that person because I'm in Jesus. And Jesus, just to be more bound to you and to know you better, makes it all worth it. And we bless that person because he meant it as a blessing, that these things that took us to a different place. Joseph was the savior of that area, that whole era, because of the evil that was done to him. Maybe God, maybe these things have happened to you so that you could be, you know, in Christ, a savior in that area of your life, to your whole family, to your whole whatever it is. Lord God, would you give us right now, Lord, something to break through that role and do something to bless the people that have really hurt us. In Jesus' name, we do this.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. Yes. Okay, well, as we conclude this, I just had a kind of an image while people were sharing. How do I say no to him? He's bigger than me, that's right.
I didn't want to share this, but when you was doing the whole prophetic turn down the wall, recently I've noticed that I have not completely forgiven the whole thing that happened with slavery. And, you know, and me and Lily be having discussions, and I see my heart was like, because I'm very passionate about my people, and especially they have this TV show called Roots. And I've been watching that, and it brings back this pain and this wall, and I've just realized that I've kept this wall up. And so I just want to just put it out there and just repent to Caucasians and to the people that enslaved my people, that we are one people. And, you know, the enemy comes in and sow division and bring war between racials, racial wars. And so I just want to repent of just having any wall up between black and white or whatever it is, God. And we just pray that we'll be one people, God, and you would turn out this wall of hurt. So, in Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Ernest. Thank you, Lord. All right, well, as we conclude, let's all stand. And I had a picture of, what do they call those? Demolition, you know, those big balls, the wrecking ball. It was just totally wrecking this gigantic wall. So as we're going to blow the shofar one more time, and we're just going to let we're going to let that wrecking ball just wreck and destroy and tear down all of those walls that we just talked about. Sound good? Okay. All right, Christy, you ready? Then we're going to shout out to the Lord and just wreck those walls. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. You have done it, Lord. You have broken down. You have torn down the dividing walls of hostility. Jesus, by your sacrifice on the cross, you did it, Lord. You died to make us one. One new man, one new people, one body, one people, one family. In Jesus' name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Oh, you may be seated. We have one final song.
Your Holy Spirit come forth.
An interesting...